16. Are you ready for what God's going to do in this place? I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, somebody this morning, but somebody was in my office and we were talking and said, man, I'm really excited about what God's doing. And I said, you know, I am too. And I say that a lot up here, and you need to know that I'm not just saying it just to build anything up. I believe that God is going to accomplish some great things in this place through this church, which is to say you and everybody in this room. God is going to do some great things. Second Timothy chapter 2 or 4. I'll find my spot. So this was, we're just going to do a quick couple-minute review here. Preach the word. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ, verse 1, who is to judge the living and the dead and is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. This is our job. Hey, will you agree that corporately, as a church, this is definitely what needs to happen? When we worship on Sunday morning, we definitely want to preach the word. We're not preaching opinions. We're going to be very careful to make sure that what is said here is God's word, and we're rightly dividing it, expounding it, preach the word. We want to be faithful to that. So we want to do that corporately, but it's also your responsibility as a child of God to preach the word to your neighbors, to in your own way, to preach the word. I'm not talking about get a podium now and opening up God to open up God's word. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being a good steward of as situations come in your life, as you have opportunities to minister to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to those in our body of believers, that you have the opportunity to open up God's word and encourage them in what God says, not your opinion, but hey, let me just encourage you. God says this. And so preach the word. So we want to do that from the time will come when there are going to be churches that don't endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, First United Baptist Church, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. We're going to talk about this a little bit more today. Fulfill your ministry. Paul talking to, we said this, it's important if you haven't been here to know that these are Paul's last words recorded. Paul's last words. And so Paul being talking to his young disciple Timothy, another minister in the Lord, he's giving the last words, the last things that we know. Paul will be executed a matter of weeks after writing this particular book. And so he says, I'm ready, verse 16, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, he's deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychicus I've sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak, which I've left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments. So I'm going to review now, and then we're going to, I promise, launch into new material. But for the sake of that we didn't record this last week, I'm going to review the 4 points that we said last week. If you weren't here, this was obstacles to persevering. Four obstacles to persevering. First, loneliness. Everybody, he says, everyone has deserted me. Demas has deserted me. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Listen, when you choose to follow Jesus, you may find yourself lonely. This is life. Following Jesus is not popular. It never will be popular. You'll never have the most friends on campus if you're a Jesus follower. If you're a Jesus follower, it will be lonely. It will be difficult, but it will be worth it. loneliness, another obstacle, discomfort. When you come, bring the cloak which I left. Paul is cold. He doesn't have the basic needs that he has. You know, life in Jesus, God promises he's going to supply all your needs, but sometimes waiting on the supply can be difficult. Christian walk's not always easy. It is difficult. God will supply your need. He's not going to leave you hanging, but sometimes the waiting is tough. It's discomforting. It's uncomfortable to follow Jesus. It's the second obstacle. Conflict. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. And he tells Timothy here, be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. You know, when you follow Jesus and you're trying to persevere in your faith, understand that people are going to come against you. Even people that are in the church, they're going to come against you. It's just the way it is. Alexander the coppersmith came against Paul and rigorously opposed him. There are going to be people that oppose what God's trying to accomplish in any church. There's always going to be opposition. It's life. I'm trying to follow God on campus. You'll have opposition. There's no question about it. In the high school, you're trying to honor God. People will oppose you. There's going to be opposition in following Jesus. Always happens. Opposition. Conflict. Consequently, the people, we said last week that the people that cause conflict, sometimes they go to other ministries and they cause conflict there too. Timothy, Paul's like, hey, Timothy, watch out. He opposed me, he'll oppose you. Negative people. We want to guard ourselves as a church, and this is an important point, from the negativity and the judgment that comes from self-righteousness. Oh, look how good I am. I've got it all my bases covered. Next thing I'm throwing stones at everybody. So we can be careful. Conflict happens when you follow Jesus. So when you have conflict, doesn't mean that you're not following Jesus. It may very well mean that you're following Jesus. If you're too comfortable and there's no opposition, you may have to step back and say, am I doing enough for God? Seems like always opposition. Jesus always had opposition. And then finally, rejection. The Lord stood with me. At my defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. That's pretty big. All of Paul's friends deserted him. No, I don't want anything to do with Paul at this point. I'm out. Sense of rejection. God's word says, beware of rejection, four obstacles. So this was last week, loneliness, discomfort, conflict, and rejection. And today I want to just kind of, I was reading this week again, just kind of meditating on it, noticing all these names of people that Paul says, Tychicus was helpful to me. I sent him to Ephesus. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him. So Mark had a role to play. Let's see here, verse 13. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus. So there's a lot of people playing a role in Paul's life. Are you following this? There's not 10 Pauls here, but there are a lot of people that are assisting Paul in one manner or another. Are you following this? Everybody's got their role to play. Everybody's got their, not everybody can be a leader. Some people got to get in the back of the line. Except, and this is this morning, except that you have particular gifts and abilities that the church needs and that God has gifted you, specially gifted for you, just for you. Special gifts and abilities. A race that he has just for you. A special thing that God wants you to accomplish. And it may be different than not everybody gets to do this or do that. Or we say, well, I don't feel like I have great gifts and abilities. Listen, God has something, gifts and abilities for you. It may not be that you're up front or that anybody ever notices, but God is going to bless you if you just stay in your lane. Don't worry about everybody else's lane. You have a race. You have a lane. You have a calling. You have a place that God wants you, and let's just call this a gift. I want to look, if we could, God has a special gift for you. Let's turn, if you could, to chapter 1. Paul talking early in the book, chapter 1. I love this passage. Verse 5. Chapter 1, verse 5. For I am mindful, Paul says to Timothy, of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Isn't that interesting? The faith that Timothy has was birthed and given a flame because of a grandparent and a parent. So I don't have a big role to play. Hey, what about the parenting role that you play? It's a huge role. And Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, Paul says, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. So I've read this passage and it occurred to me, I did a little research. I always read this passage and thought that what Paul was talking about was this particular word in the original language for gift is the word charismata. It's a sort of a charis, that's where we get the word charismatic from. Before you get too scared, the gift of God, which is eternal life, that word, the gift, is also the same word, charismata. Say, newsflash, if you're a believer today, you have a charismata gift of salvation. Just a heads up. You with me? Okay. Did everybody hear that, or I just have to repeat that? Do you understand what I've said? So everybody here has a charismatic gift of salvation if you've received the gift of God. There are multiple words for gifts in the New Testament, Greek words, but this is one of them. And so I always thought this was talking about salvation, just kind of, but start digging into this, and indeed, it reflects something that we read earlier in 1 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says the same thing to Timothy. Do not neglect, chapter 4, verse 14. This is 1 Timothy. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you through the prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands and by the presbytery. So Paul's reiterating something he's already said. This is not salvation. This is not the gift. Paul is saying that Timothy has a special gift that is there. So everybody in this room has a gift. I don't know what it is, a special gift. It's your responsibility to find out what that gift is and get in the game. He's got this special gift. I was thinking the other day, Ready 2016, and about this idea that everybody in this room has a lane and everybody in this room has a role that God wants you to play in this church. And I'm careful to say that because God also has things for you to do outside of this church. But everybody in this room, if you consider yourself a partner of this church, part of the life of this church, God has something for you to accomplish that feeds the body of Christ. That's what the gift is. The gift is not yours to just sort of hoard to yourself. It's there for the benefit of other believers. I feel like everybody's asleep this morning. Maybe it's just me. Am I not exciting enough this morning? Is there something I need to do? Help me out here. Help me out. So everybody has a lane to play. So I kind of liken it to when my gifts, my abilities aren't really that important and all that. One thing I hate, if you know me at all, and some of you know me well enough to know this fact, is that I am very competitive when it comes to, not to the point of cheating, but when it comes to playing games. Hold on. When it comes to playing games like Monopoly, we play a game that I love called Settlers of Catan. I basically, dominoes, whatever it is I'm playing, I'm very, very competitive. And the reality is, and maybe you're a little, I don't cheat, but the reality is that I love to play games, but I hate to lose. Does anybody love to lose? I mean, nobody here loves to lose. I hate to lose. And so if I play a game that I'm not good at, you know what I do? I don't play. I'm not going to play something I'm not good at. If I can't win in the game, I don't have a particular skill at playing a particular game, I don't play. Now this is where people don't like to play with me some. If it looks like you're going to win in a game, so we're playing a game, Monopoly, whatever, it looks like you're about to get all the Monopolies, you're about to win, I don't want you to enjoy the victory. So I'm going to do everything that I can to be a poor sport so that you didn't like to win. If I can't win, you're not going to enjoy winning. I can guarantee you. I'm not a good sport. I'll readily admit it. I hate losing. I hate games that I lose at. I try to find things I'm good at, which is what you should do. Find things that you're good at and do them. And find games you're good at. Play them. That's what I do. I find games I like to win at least half the time. You know, you're gonna lose sometimes, but you don't want to lose all the time. That's no fun. I just think about this, playing games. We're playing a brand new game. Some guys that I know, youth pastor at Grace Baptist Church, he's meeting me at the house today with a couple friends. We're going to play this new Star Wars game. As we've never played, we're going to break this thing out. X-Wing, Star Wars X-Wing. We'll break this thing out and play. Listen, I put $60 into this game because you can buy little different ships, and every different ship's $20, and then you build an armada and you play. So the sad thing is, if today doesn't go my way, I'm not playing again. I'll go on eBay and I'm gonna sell my little ships. I don't play anything I'm not good at. I'm a poor sport. Nobody wants to play with people like me. You know, people that just don't want, people that are just mean-spirited in the game. Listen, it's the same thing in the spiritual life. God has gifts and abilities. It's like, well, I'm not particularly practice it. Get good at it. But here's the thing. Everybody needs to play. Even if you're not good or you feel like you're not a strength, you're a strength. Everybody in this room needs to find your gift, your ability, and get in the game. It's your gifts and your abilities. Well, they're not really particularly great gifts. They're great gifts because God gave them to you. God actually, in the sovereignty of God, when you became a believer, he said, this is interesting. Dolores, what gift can I give Dolores that fits her personality, and that gift I will give her will be able to minister blessing over the rest of the church? What gift can I give? And God thinks this through and says, Dolores, I'm going to give you this gift, and he gives it to you. And the gift that God gives you is important. May not be a flashy gift, but it's a gift, and it's an important gift. It may not be the gift that you want, but it's the gift that you need. It's the church, it's the gift that the church needs. If Dolores decides, I don't like this game, I don't like my gift, I'm cashing in my chips and I'm not playing, then you know who suffers? The church. Everybody in this church, if you're a believer, has a gift. You have a gift that God creatively, and the creativity and the sovereignty of God said, I want to give this gift to you. That's why it's so important to be a part of a body of believers that you call home, so that you can use that gift to the benefit of the body of Christ. We're all members. Some of us are little toes. Some of us are fingers. Some of us are kneecaps. Everybody's a member of the body of Christ, and we jump in and we get in the game. We're members. 2 Timothy, he says, so for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God. You know what happens every once in a while with our gifts? We neglect them. Maybe we don't know what they are. Find out what you're good at, what makes you tick spiritually. Get on that game. Get in the church and use that gift for the glory of God in this church. So, well, I haven't used it a lot. Kindle it. Bring it back to a flame. It doesn't do much good as just a little bit of heat here. It needs to be a fire. I think this is really important because if we can get this principle, then this won't be the church of which it said that 20% does 100% of the work. The reason why 20% of the church does 100% of the work is because, generally speaking, 20% of the people in the church decide, I'm going to use my gifts and abilities. And the other 80% have gifts and abilities that they're letting die. Gifts that God gave them. And you're not using it for God's glory. I was thinking this week, of King David. Everybody's trying to beat King David down before he was king. He's out in the shepherd's field, even his father. Remember, his father's there. And so bring all of your children, and all of them line up. And it's like, oh, hold on, where is, I know that you have another child. Oh, he's out in the field, he's just a shepherd. So, well, no, God wants all of them here. No, but he's just a shepherd. No, doesn't have any benefit, just a child. But Timothy was the same way. Paul says, don't let anybody neglect you because of your youth. Teenagers and children in this room, God doesn't have anything special for me. I'm too young. God has great things for you. And it's just like, I've got to just use it for the glory of God. Doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter that people think that you're nothing. God has high value on you. So David's out here in the field working, right? He's out here doing, he thinks he's not important. He's just the shepherd. He's the one tending sheep. Oh, parents, we need to not cast and define our kids by what little we think of them. We define our kids by the value that God's placed on them. You're a child of the Most High God. You have value to God. God wants to accomplish great things in your life. We don't define people by what we think of them or he's just a shepherd boy. He's stacked up against. I mean, the world, even his family, was stacking up against David obstacles to his own self-worth. Well, God doesn't have anything for me. I'm just a shepherd. I wasn't even included in this little party. God doesn't want me to serve him in any great capacity. So no, come over. And then all of a sudden, God chooses David. Isn't that amazing? The short person, the ruddy kid that nobody thought was valuable, but God saw great value. And you know what's interesting? He didn't have a lot of great gifts and abilities. He's out tending sheep. What does that do? What does tending sheep do to give him great value and to add to his resume of being king, right? It's just a shepherd. It's just a shepherd boy. He's really good at watching sheep. So it's a great resume for a king, huh? You know what he was doing, though? He was taking all the gifts and abilities that he had out in the field, and he was using them. And this is interesting. I thought about this way. I said, wow, this is really, I'd never thought about it. But he's out there in the field with not many gifts and abilities, but the gifts and the abilities that he does have, he's honing them. He's practicing them. He's taking those gifts and abilities and saying, God, use me. I don't have much, but the gifts and the abilities that I do have, I'm going to use for God's glory, right? So he's getting better at these gifts and abilities. He's doing all that he can for the glory of God. And so you know that one of these insignificant little gifts is what propels him forward. You know what it is? Slingshot. Slingshot. The slingshot is the thing that propels him into prominence in the eyes of the children of Israel. A slingshot. You know what he was doing all this time in the fields watching sheep? He was taking a slingshot. No, it's not a big gift and ability, but I want to get good at it. God's given me a propensity to be really good with this piece of leather, this rope, and this rock. Well, he's out there. Oh, I'm getting better. I'm going to continue to hone this little gift, this little ability. The slingshot. What is a slingshot? What's that going to do? Yeah, but one day when he reaches a Goliath and God needs that little insignificant gift that everybody thought was no big deal, and God uses that little insignificant gift. You know why? Because he was practicing it. Because he was honoring God with the little that he had. And the next thing you know, that little gift that nobody thought was important knocks down Goliath, and that brings him to prominence, and God gets glory. How? Slingshot. What's your slingshot? God doesn't have much for me. I'm not very talented. I only have this. Oh, God will use that, man. God will use it. If you continue to honor God with it and practice it, God will use that gift to bring down giants. Don't let the devil and the world and your family talk you down from the gift that God has for you. You use your gift. You use it for the glory of God. You say, God, I'm going to glorify you with this gift. Even if people make fun of it, it's just a little gift. I'm going to just practice slingshot. The too much of the church taking... You know, it's a pride thing. So, look, the pastor, that's really important, and the elders, they're important. Because everybody's important in God's house. There's nobody more important than the other. Well, I have this little gift. Don't neglect the gift of God on your life. Don't neglect God's gift. Be okay with being in the background doing your thing. God will honor that. No, but I'm not up front. I really want to do something. Listen. Just take your gift, your little thing. Work it. Get good at it. Let God honor. One day, in the sovereignty of God, your gift will come to prominence, and God will glorify you and honor you because of your simple obedience. Kindle up that gift. Don't neglect it. Don't let it sit there. Flame it. Put air on it. I mean, just fan that thing until it becomes a flame and use it for the glory of God. Paul says, and for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh. Verse 6, chapter 1. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. You have a destiny God wants to accomplish. Just think today of all the things that God could have accomplished over the last 20 years, 10 years, 5 years. In this church that God could have accomplished if you would have been fanning the flame of your gift. All the things that don't get accomplished because we don't have an all-in mentality ready for 2016, God, use me. Even if it's a small gift, God, use me. I'm too old. You're never too old. I'm too young. You're never too young. You're exactly in the place that God wants to bless you. You're exactly the age that God is going to pour his blessing over you. You're exactly whether it's old, whether it's young, you're exactly in the place that God wants you. Well, I'm over here neglected over here. That's the place of God's blessing in your life. And everybody's trying to get out of your place of blessing. If David would have said, you know what, I'm tired of being out in the field. I don't like being out here. I'm gonna try to get out of this circumstance. He would have never honed in and practiced the gift that he had. We're trying to get out of the little thing and honor God with bigger things. It doesn't work that way. You have to honor God with the small things first. To honor God with the small things. God is never going to bless you anywhere other than where you are. the place where you are in your life is exactly the place of God's blessing for you. Don't fight it. Invite it. God, I take it. I accept where I am. I accept where I am. I accept my circumstance. I don't need to try to get out of it. I accept it. God, honor me. Bless me here. I'm going to do everything I can to use my gifts and abilities and honor you here in the little. God will take that heart, I promise you. God will take that heart and expand it. God will take that ministry and expand it. God will honor the little and make it big. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift which is in you through the laying on of hands. Just a word to parents. Again, verse 5. I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Listen, come alongside. May I encourage the older people in this room. Not old people, just older. Okay, older people. Then there's some of you maybe much older. But older, that's good. You know, there's wisdom. Amen. It's wisdom. I wasn't talking to you, Bruce. It's wisdom. You know what we need? We need the younger people to walk beside the older people and the older people to say, you know, there are a lot of people in our church, there are a lot of young people that didn't grow up in Christian homes. They don't have a grandmother Lois and a mother Eunice to look up to. They need people in this church to step up and say, I'm going to step beside, as an older person in wisdom and years in our church, I'm going to step beside some younger people and disciple them. I'm going to invest my time, my wisdom, my energy into younger people. So, I believe that 100%. We're not going to have a healthy church otherwise. We need the older people to give the wisdom. That means you have to humble yourself and say, I'm going to use my gift, my wisdom, and I'm going to find some younger people, even if it's out where I don't get along with young people. Get along with them. Find someone. Start building relationship in them. Pour into them all the wisdom of years that you've been given by God. Pour into them, because some people don't have a Lois and a Eunice. We're making some changes. There's no doubt about it. We want to reach our community for Jesus. We're not. Don't misunderstand them as trying to push anybody out. We don't want to. We need all of you. We need all of you. Every age group. But there's a special call now to some of our older senior saints. We need you the most. We need you to help to disciple the young people, to build relationships with young people. We need you. Get in the game. Maybe that's God's calling in your life. We need the younger people to play roles. So, no, this is a church for older people. I haven't quite yet arrived. So I'm so thankful God didn't see that way with King David. Probably 13, 14, when he slays Goliath. Thank God. Thank God God has a role for young and old alike. God is no respecter of persons. There are special things that kids could do better than some of us older folks. We need them too. Oh, there are too many kids running around all over. Thank God they're running around. We have life in here. You want them to all be crippled? We want life in this church. This building exists for the people, not the other way around. Everybody in the game. God's given you gifts and abilities. I don't know what they are, you know. In the sovereignty of God, God gave you special gifts. Find out what it is and use it. It's not important. It's important. If we're going to accomplish what God, what I believe 100% God wants to accomplish amazing things. Can I just say, I think that God wants to bring new numbers into this place, that God wants to grow it. I believe that. I believe that God wants a spirit here of love in this place. I believe God wants us reaching out to our neighbors. I believe God wants to, I believe God wants this church to be a city on a hill, a lighthouse in a dark place. God knows we live in a dark place. Find your gift and ability. Discover what it is that God wants you to do. Amen? Do you receive the word this morning? Amen. Lord, we love you. We just pray now that you would, Lord, help us to be a church. Help us to be a church that loves you and honors you with our gifts and abilities, that we kindle afresh the gift that you've given us. Lord, that we wouldn't neglect it. God, that you would give it to us, that God, we would use it, even if it's just alone and nobody's noticing. God, you know it. You know the gifts. You know our heart, God. Pray that you'd honor it. Help us to be a church that is obedient to you. Lord, and for those this morning, just thinking that maybe those this morning that don't know you as a personal Savior, God, we just ask. They would be compelled to get that right because you are a good God and in you there is no darkness at all. You have good intentions for our life, not bad. You're here to bless us, not harm us. You want us to be the head, not the tail. God, bless us and bless those that don't know you as a personal Savior. God, help them to be compelled to come to know you today. Lord, we love you. We ask your great blessing over this church and all that you're going to accomplish. We ask right now in Jesus' name that the Spirit of God would go forth in this room and spread out into Tiffin and that this will be home base for all that you want to accomplish in this city. God, that this will be home base for that and that we'll be ambassadors of you outside of these walls. We're thankful now for what you're going to do, what you're going to accomplish. Bless us again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Brother, why don't you come up, give some announcements, and then we're going to close with a song that we did today. We're going to close with that. I do have one really quick announcement when you're done. Mm-hmm. But go ahead.
Sounds good. So as the gentlemen come down, I'm going to try to give you guys as much time as you need. You'll see this on your bulletin. If we could have everybody fill this out if you have not done so already. Now would be the perfect time to do this while I'm kind of explaining this. So if, it doesn't matter if this is your first time or if you've been here for 10 years or 20 years. If everybody could fill this out, this kind of helps us keep an accurate count of who was here today. Again, if this is your church home, we don't necessarily need your address. We just need your name and how many were with you today. We're going to have a word of prayer, ask God's blessing over our offering, and then I will continue on with our announcements this morning. So let us pray.